life. Wonderful words of life, also freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beauty, teaching faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Praise the Lord. Good singing this morning, folks. Let's grab our Bibles and open up to Luke's Gospel this morning. Luke chapter number 2. Praise the Lord. I cannot tell you, church, how excited I am about being here. That would be Luke chapter 2. Yes, sir. I was speaking with the Lord last night about all that he's doing, and I feel like the Lord has spent 55 years preparing me for this time. That's exciting. We know he's coming back, but we need to live our lives as if we've got a full life to serve him. Amen? We don't need to go up on the rooftop and start jumping, trying to force the rapture. We need to be busy about our Father's business. Here in Luke chapter 2 this morning, I want to speak to you on Simeon's sermon. Simeon's sermon. He's a credible guy in the Bible named Simeon. Look with me in Luke chapter 2. Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. Luke chapter 2 will begin in verse 21. Realize here that everything surrounding the birth, the incarnation of Jesus Christ, was supernatural. Amen? I mean, from the time that the angel Gabriel called Zechariah and Elizabeth to have John the Baptist and Mary, the human mother of our Lord, to the muteness of Zacharias until the babe was born, to the all of the events that transpired are supernatural. Glory to God. We serve a supernatural God. Amen? And look with me here in Luke chapter 2 at verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now notice in verse 21 that when 8 days came, were accomplished for the circumcision of the child. Somebody tell me, whose law was that? The law of circumcision. Right. The law of circumcision was a law of Moses for who? What people? The Jews. Right? Jesus was a Jew. Full-blooded. Don't let anybody tell you elsewise. 22. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, notice, we're still under the law of Moses before the cross. A lot of folks don't understand that because they're not dispensational. But the Bible makes no sense unless you rightly divide it. Amen? He says, and when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him, Jesus, to Jerusalem, to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice, I'm glad we don't have to do this no more, according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, they couldn't afford a lamb. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Messiah. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. I want to speak to you this morning, beloved, briefly on Simeon's sermon. Lord in heaven, how we thank you for this incredible passage. Lord, there's so much occurring in these verses. Where do I begin? Lord, we just ask you to bless and anoint your word, Holy Spirit, today. Show us the great truths that are contained in this precious passage of Holy Writ. We thank you for it, Lord, and we thank you that you became a man. We thank you that you were born in a manger amongst the barnyard animals. And Lord, we thank you that you did it all for us. We celebrate your birth, O God. We thank you for being willing to come and to become one of us, that we could be with you. We love you this morning and ask for your blessing upon your preached word. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Please be seated, folks. This morning we've had Zacharias, Elizabeth, Mary, John Baptist, Anna, the shepherds, the angels, the wise men, and others coming to Bethlehem to give honor and praise to this newborn king. Amen. Listen to me. Finally, we have this man named Simeon. Under the influence of God's Holy Spirit, he's giving adoration and glory to this incredible little baby. Listen, in Simeon's sermon, we may glean much. So let's examine this morning and learn from Simeon first that he had a godly character. Amen. I want to draw your attention to this man. And I want to see if maybe we can't imitate him a little bit in our Christian lives. First thing I see is that he had a godly character. Look at verse 25. The Bible says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout. Notice, just and devout. I want to tell you something, folks, this morning. Simeon was an aged man. Josephus says he was 95 years old when this incident occurred, just prior to his exaltation to glory. But listen, Simeon, we're first told where he lived. Notice that in verse 25, in Jerusalem, the holy city. You know, folks ask me all the time, Pastor, have you ever been to Israel? It's every preacher's dream to go to Israel. I said, no, but I'm going. Amen? I'm going. When? In the spring? No. Whenever the rapture I'm going. I'm going to live there for 1,000 years, man. I don't need an airplane ticket. Amen? I'm going to Israel because I'm one of the king's kids. Glory to God. But Simeon was there, and he had a great character. He's described in verse 25 as just and devout. Just and devout. Listen, he was just horizontally before men. He was devout vertically. Before God. Amen? That forms a what? Cross. Glory to God. Beloved, you and I need to be just horizontally. In all our earthly relationships, we need to behave ourselves as God's children. We need to be just in all our dealings with mankind, that they might be drawn to what we have. Secondly, we must be devout vertically. Amen? We must devote ourselves, that word devout, devote ourselves to Him. Amen? We need to have a devoted, devout, godly life like Simeon. If you're just toward men, horizontally, and you're devout toward God, vertically, that forms a cross. And I like my sister Ellie because she always says, the cross is where we need to live. She's right. She's right. Simeon had a godly character, and people knew it. People going to know when old Kyle goes down there and warming up the bus. They're going to know he loves Jesus, amen? Because he acts it. We've got to act it. We've got to be what we say we believe. Now listen, an old preacher said, Satan has three lines of attack. First, he tries to keep men from becoming Christian. Then, if foiled there, he tries to keep them from being active in serving God. Finally, as a last resort, he tries to blacken their character. Tries to blacken their character. You know what the world wants to do? People you work with, people you associate with, people you know out there, they want to blacken your character because they don't want to come to your Savior. They want to find something to point at that guy and say, oh, I saw him come out of that bottle room. You know? Something to blacken your character. Simeon didn't have that problem. Simeon was just and he was devout and people knew it. Glory to God. Something else concerning Simeon. That is that he was anticipating the Lord's arrival. Amen? Are you anticipating the Lord's arrival? Look at verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting. He was waiting for something. Amen? Are you waiting for something? Something big to happen? I hope so. Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. What's that mean? That means the coming of the promised Messiah. Jesus was coming, and he understood the times, the prophecies, and he was waiting for him to show up. Glory to God. Folks, I tell you this morning, we need to be like Simeon and be waiting for him to show up. He's about to show up. Amen? And Jesus said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. He's just looking for folks who love him and are waiting for him to come. Oh, folks, how we need this morning to be living in a state of anticipation for our Lord's return. He hadn't forgotten us. Amen? His train is running on schedule. It's right on time. You say, when's the rapture going to take place? I can't tell you. It doesn't matter to me. My Lord's coming back. I don't need to know when. I just need to live in anticipation of his arrival. Harold Camping, the false prophet, died Sunday. Friday, this 2 days ago. He was 92. Harold Camping predicted the time, the date of the rapture of the church 12 times. I read an article yesterday about since 1978. He was writing books, Why Jesus Will Come in 88. And he didn't come, so he had to write a new book, Why Jesus Will Come in 99. 99 Reasons Why, you know. Anyways, folks, I don't want to be tied up in that stuff. It doesn't matter when he's coming. We need to be ready for it each and every day. Amen? Because we know he is. Simeon was waiting. I love it. Simeon was one of the minority in Israel called the remnant. You know there was always a remnant? There's still a remnant today of Jewish believers in Messiah who are born again just like you and me. I love it. God always has had a remnant, and he was waiting for that Messiah to show up. He understood, listen, from Scripture, that the Lord was about to come. Simeon knew that Messiah would fulfill the prophecies of the Old Testament. And just like Simeon, his day was laughed at and mocked and belittled because he believed that God would send his son. Even so today, you and I sometimes are mocked because we believe that old book. We believe that Jesus is coming, amen? And folks don't like that. And sometimes they'd exclude you from their little circles. But I'd rather be alone with Jesus than to be part of the group, amen? Just give me Jesus in my Bible. I'm waiting for him to come. I'm looking up because he's coming quickly. Listen to me, the Lord's train is running on schedule, and Simeon lived in anticipation of his arrival. And so should we. When Harry Houdini in 1918 told his wife that he would surely return from beneath that ice after performing his world-famous death trap illusion, after everyone had departed thinking Houdini had drowned in the icy waters, only his wife was there waiting as he emerged after 38 minutes from the frozen harbor had passed. Listen. The question is, how many people will be waiting for Jesus to show up? They're all scattering, by the way. Yeah, they're quitting church. They're quitting serving God. They're going and joining the bowling league. You know, we need to be faithful, folks, and we need to be waiting like Houdini's wife was for him to return. Glory to God, because he is. Something else about Simeon that I like. He was a spirit-filled man. Amen? Look at verse 25 again. Verse 25. He was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Now notice, the Holy Ghost was not in him. You couldn't get the Holy Ghost in you until after Jesus rose from the dead. But the Holy Ghost was upon him. Amen? I love it. Because he was a spirit-filled man. Folks, if you and I are going to live this Christian life, if you and I are going to get anything done for God, we need to be spirit-filled. Amen? And oh, isn't it time for the Church of Jesus Christ to come out of the carnality and the worldliness and the evil of this planet and be sanctified and be filled with His Holy Spirit as we're commanded to be in anticipation of His return. Simeon was a spirit-filled man. This was the mark of a true prophet, that the Holy Spirit moved upon him as he spake. Men, we must be filled with the Spirit of Christ to serve Him. Ladies, you too must be spirit-filled and spirit-led if we're going to grow and bring souls to the Savior. We've got a great job to do, and we can't do it in our own strength. We need His power, His Spirit. Glory to God. I'd rather be filled with His Holy Spirit than have all the things this old world has to offer, because they can't make you happy. Only Jesus can. Glory to God. Our church back in Colorado, there was a fellow who believed that it was okay for his wife to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but that he was just too busy for stuff like that. Boy, did they have problems. It doesn't work that way. We got to be spirit-filled, both husband and wife. Amen? I wonder, are you spirit-filled this morning? Are you seeking His face? Are you spending time in His Word each and every day? Simeon did. Fourthly, notice that he received messages from God. Oh, I like that. Look with me at verse 26. Simeon received messages from God. Verse 26, and it was revealed unto him. By who? The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, that he should not see death before he'd seen the Lord's Christ. Listen, he received a message from God. Let me ask you a question, church. Are you receiving messages from God? You should be. And I'm not talking about Oral Roberts seeing a 900-foot Jesus, and the message this thing gave him was that every American had to send him $286 or he'd kill him. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the Bible is seated at the right hand of the Father until he comes back. But what I'm telling you is he will give you messages, true messages. Amen? Every time you open this book, you're going to get a message from God. Amen? This is his oracle. I like that. His mouthpiece. It is the voice of the Lord speaking to us. How precious is that? The Word of God is his message to us. You say, brother, how much of it do you believe? All of it. All of it. I even believe the Bible, the cover. It says Holy Bible. Amen? We need messages from God. God told Simeon, listen, that he was going to live to see the Messiah before going to heaven. The Lord's Christ. Look at that in verse 26. That he would see the Lord's Christ. That's Messiah, the anointed one, the chosen one. But notice, he received this message from God. God. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Every time you open this holy book, you should be hearing from God. Amen? You have the receptor. That's the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. This is His Word to you and I. And He talks to us and He speaks to us through it. One guy said, well, I just don't have any direction in my Christian life. I said, do you read the Bible? Do you study the Bible? He said, I'm a Christian, but I don't have time for that. Okay. You're not going to get any direction unless you spend time listening for His voice. Glory to God. I'm so glad that I'm not confused this morning. I'm so glad that I know exactly where God wants me to be, and I know exactly what He wants me to do. Why? Because I've heard from God. When you hear from God and His message is so crystal clear, you can't do anything else but what He tells you to do. Amen? And it's such a beautiful comfort to know that you've heard and you're doing His will. This is what we need. The will of God. The devil, the world, the flesh will throw all kinds of obstacles at you to try to get you out of the will of God. And the Lord says, nope, just lean on me. Listen to my voice and you'll be A-okay. Oh, I love this. Fifthly, something else about Simeon. Listen, he was greatly blessed by being in the house of God. Amen? Look with me at verse 27. The Bible says, and he, Simeon, came by the Spirit into the temple. Did anybody catch that? He went to church and he didn't go in the flesh. You know what I'm so glad? This group, that we don't come to church in the flesh. We come to church expecting a blessing. We come to church walking in the Spirit. Look at the wording there in verse 27. He came by the Spirit into the temple. That's how we need to come to church. Spirit-filled, prayed up, studied up, joy-filled up, and ready to worship the Lord. Glory to God. You know what will happen? You'll be greatly blessed in the temple, the house of God. I love it. Do you know how you get blessed by being a Christian? It's when you're faithful to the house of God. You know, we've got a lot of people that are saved today, and they're unchurched because they don't want to serve God. Somebody has hurt them. Somebody has offended them. It happens. And so they quit. Instead of realizing that there are Bible-believing churches that truly love God and want them and to serve God alongside. Amen? And it's so important because iron sharpeneth iron. No man is an island. We need each other. I'm so glad that I have a group of Christians that I serve with that love the Lord like I love the Lord and love His Word like I love His Word. It's wonderful. We encourage each other. That's what church is all about. Amen? But notice something else. Notice who was in the temple. Look at verse 27. And he, Simeon, came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus. You know where you're going to find Jesus? In the church. You know what? Jesus is here this morning. Amen? And Jesus is here with his arms wide open to bless you. Why? Because you've made an effort. You had to set your alarm this morning. You had to take a shower. I hope you took a shower. You had to get dressed, all purted up, and your Sunday best for church. And you did it. God's going to bless you. Jesus is here. I can guarantee you that. Because he was here before I ever showed up.
Yes.
Amen? He's just waiting for us to follow suit. Glory to God. Jesus was in the temple, and Simeon found him. This is good. I like it. How many of God's people today have such a controversy over church? Am I going to go to church or am I going to go fishing? Am I going to go to church or am I going to go to Aunt Nellie's for pudding pie? Listen, coming to God's house should be number one on our priority list. There shouldn't even be a question about it. Amen? Dad, it's up to dad. Dad's going to say, wife, kids, get dressed. We're going to church. Instead, dad's kicking the wife and kids out. You're waking me up. Go to church while I sleep some more. You know? Asleep. And we need to be awake in serving God. How about Anna? She never left the temple. She lived in the house of God. Yet how many of God's people today just aren't sure? I love being in church. I love it. I wish we could have church every day. If I didn't have to work, I think I'd open this building every day. See if anybody would come. Paul said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but so much the more, as you see what? The day approaching. We're seeing the day approaching, but quickly, something else about Simeon. He was prepared for death. Amen? He was prepared to die. Look at verse 28. Verse 28. Then took he him up. That Simeon took baby Jesus up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. He said, I'm ready to go. I tell people all the time, when Bob Oliver kicks the bucket and they put me 6 feet under, don't cry. Throw a party! I'll be dancing on streets of gold. You know, I'll be having a good old time up there with Jesus. Don't be sorrowful. Simeon said, Lord, I'm ready. Oh, how we need to be ready to go. We just don't know the day nor the hour when we could take our final breath. But we do know that we need to be ready. Simeon was ready. I guarantee it. He was prepared to leave this world. He has a pleasant prospect concerning his future in glory above. This is common to all true believers. His confidence of eternal happiness was founded upon God's word. Amen. Look at verse 29. He says, I've seen thy salvation. Verse 29. Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. What is according to thy word? His departure in peace. You see it? He says, I am going to go to heaven in peace because your word. He says, according to thy word. That's what the word of God says. If you're born again, you love Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. When you take your final breath in this life, you'll be present with the Lord. Amen. According to the word. Glory. I love it. Sadly, most people in this world today are not prepared to die. They're walking, they're breathing, but they're dead spiritually. And God forbid they take their final breath and end up in a devil's hell. Oh, I fear for them. Simeon didn't have that problem. He was ready. Something else quickly. Seventh, Simeon, he positively identified the salvation of God. Look at verse 30. Verse 30. For mine eyes have seen the baptistry tank. No, wrong version. Mine eyes have seen the offering plate. No. The church. Secular Humanist College. No. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Listen carefully. He positively identified the salvation of God, which salvation is not a system, but a living person. One has to come to the understanding that there is only one way to have salvation from sin. And it is through that little baby who is the Son of God. He didn't see a religion. He saw the Son of God. Glory. Simeon holds up little baby Jesus and boldly proclaims that this baby is the salvation of God to this lost and dying world. Whosoever will may come and drink of the water of life freely. Amen. What a blessing. He actually held the Son of God. And he said, now I've seen thy salvation. It's him. Glory to God. I wouldn't let him go. Amen. He's saying salvation is not in a church. Salvation is not in keeping the commandments. Salvation is not in giving to the offering plate. Salvation is not in being baptized, praying three times a day, or anything else that you can do. Salvation is in a person, a divine person called Jesus Christ. But one last thing I want you to see and I'll be done. Notice that Simeon identifies the intended recipients of this great salvation. Look with me in verse 31. He identifies the intended recipients. Verse 31, thy salvation which thou hast prepared before the face of white people. Chinese? How about African? Nope. All people can have this salvation. It doesn't matter what your skin color is. It doesn't matter what your financial background might be, or where you live, or where you went to school. Because this salvation is prepared. You don't prepare it. Somebody else did that for you. Prepared before the face of all people. Watch it, 32. A light to lighten the Gentiles. That's the whole world. Non-Jewish world. And the glory of thy people, Israel. He just named every person on planet Earth. You're either Gentile or Jew, right? And he says, it's for all of us, the salvation. I'm so glad, beloved, that we come to the greatest news of all in closing. That Simeon's sermon ends with a worldwide invitation for all peoples of all nations throughout all history to come to this salvation, this divine person, and to receive the forgiveness, mercy, grace, and love that only he can give. Amen? This was no secret, hidden, private birth. but was noised abroad both by men and angels. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but may have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Aren't you glad that this salvation is for every one of us who will receive it, who will accept it? In closing, let me give you this. Glory to God. Someone wrote, there's a beautiful legend that's never been told. It may have been known to the wise men of old, how three little children came early at dawn with hearts that were sad to where Jesus was born. One could not see, one was too lame to play, while the other a mute, not a word could he say. Yet led by his star, they came there to peep at the little Lord Jesus with eyes closed in sleep. But how could the Christ child, so lovely and fair, not waken and smile when he heard their glad prayer? Of hope at his coming, of faith in his birth, of praise at his bringing, God's peace to the earth. And then as the light softly came through the door, the lad that was lame stood upright once more. The boy that was mute started sweetly to sing, while the child that was blind looked with joy on the King. He looked with joy on the King. Folks, I'm here to tell you this morning that we can look with great joy on this King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen? This great King not only causes the lame to walk and the mute to talk, but the blind to see. He goes further than that. He causes us to live forevermore in his glorious presence. Isn't he wonderful? Don't you love him today, church? Let's pray, Father in heaven, how we thank you for this little baby in Luke chapter 2. Lord, how we thank you for Simeon's sermon. It's a good one, Lord, because it shows us the way. The way is through this incarnate King. Lord, we're thankful that the Son of David hath come. Messiah has fulfilled the prophecies of his first coming, and he will fulfill the prophecies of his second coming. Lord, we look as Simeon awaited the consolation of Israel. We await the consolation of Israel because it's still coming. And Lord, as we do, my prayer for this church is that by your Holy Spirit, you would cause us to be more faithful than we've ever been, more sold out for Jesus Christ than ever before, more in love with this little baby, this King, this Messiah, this majestic Lord. He's high above all the earth. He's Jesus, and we love him. Lord, bless us as we're dismissed, or rather as we come to sing a final song. We thank you for your word today, for it is good. We thank you that we're reminded, Lord, that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. We're thankful today that we're reminded that we need to be in a state of anticipation of his imminent return. We look forward to that day, Lord. We want to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That means more to us than anything in this life. And we love you more than we've ever loved you before. And we ask for your blessings upon us now in Jesus Christ's name. And Lord, one last thing. I thank you, dear Lord, that every person here, as far as I can see, is saved. They've come to receive this Savior, this wonderful Lord Jesus. I thank you for that, Father. And I pray that you would continue to save souls in these last days through this ministry, through this church, Lord. Let many come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We ask it in his holy name. And the people said, amen. 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 Praise the Lord, people. Let's grab our hymnals this morning in closing. Right on schedule, by the way. In closing this morning. And we'll go a cappella. That would be 286. Let's stand for our final hymn. 286. Silent night. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Young virgin
mother and child. Holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glory stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing hallelujah, Christ the Savior is born, Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beam from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord, have thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't forget, if you can join us tonight, 6 p.m. Well, Brother Kyle, dismiss us in prayer.
Lord, we thank you so much that we're able to join with one another here this morning for mm-hmm. our service in this place, Lord. We thank you for opening the doors for this place, to make it a holy place that we can come to, that we can find a place to join our voices together in giving you the praise for all you do for us, Lord, and for the salvation that you've imparted to us. We just pray, Lord, that through us and through our efforts, we can see that this church will grow, that others will come in, and one day in not too far off, that we'll need a bigger building, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that you walk with and guide us, you keep us ever walking closely with you, and help us, Lord, to be a good witness to those that we meet so that we can bring them into the fold, Lord, and hear your word and find the true way to go. We ask this in Jesus' precious name, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.